Today's daf in Masechet Menachot brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh is daf Ayin Beit, and we're right near the top of Kotzrim Mipnei Anditiyot. So the next thing that we learned in the Mishnah is that we talked about doing a harvesting in a place where the grain is of low quality, like Beit HaShlachim. We spoke about harvesting L'Shachat in order to feed an animal, and we Mishnah then mentioned that there are certain cases where we need the space for doing a mitzvah. So we talked about the Beit HaAvel, we talked about a Beit HaMidrash. The Beit HaAvel, remember, was referring to the minhag that they had in those days, which everyone would come outside to a wide area where there was room for the whole community, and they would eat a seuda, bake the birchas ha'avelim in the birkat hamazon. And in order to do that, you have to clear an area in a field, and maybe that field had grain in it that was usher to cut before the Omer. Nonetheless, you'll be allowed to do that for this purpose, and we'll see why. And so too for a Beis HaMidrash, for people to come together and to learn that there would be enough room for everyone. And the case that we had also before that, now there it's not so pashut. I was talking about where the saplings had grown and they were being choked by these new growths of grain. And the question is, would you be allowed to do that? Is that because it's hefsed? Is that because, and that's why there was no gezeira, and it's mi'ikra din mutter because it's low quality, since it was growing up around a orchard in which the level of nourishment in the earth was being utilized by the trees would not be available for the actual grain. Is that the reason? And if it's not really for the Omer, or others suggest maybe the reason is because of the possibility of Kalayim, and therefore they were matir, so it would be that that case was also the Tzorach Mitzvah. The fact is that the Gemara separates the cases, and over here only talks about the Beit HaAvel and the Beit HaMidrash. So that the limud of Kitzir Chem v'lo Kitzir Mitzvah that we're about to engage in would apparently apply to these two cases, but the first case was mutter because of something else. If it's because of Kelayim, then obviously it would be also including all three cases here. Anyway, so there's two ways really of reading. First case is part of the earlier din of Kotzir and Beit HaShlachin and Shachat. So, the next cases are because of by Taima Kitzir Chem Om Rachmana. It's only an Isser Reshit Kitzir Chem, but not Kitzir Mitzvah. That's not called your own personal Kotzir. And the Mishnah said, but this is not meant to allow you to actually tie up the grain that you cut into bundles. You have to leave them there in piles, but not tied. By Taima, Dechama De'ef Shelo Tachina. As we said before, we're trying to avoid as much as possible exposure to the new grain. And the more you're going to work with that grain, the more likely it is that you're going to accidentally, or I shouldn't say accidentally, but without thinking, pop in a piece of the new grain into your mouth. And because of that, we want you to stay away as much as you can. So whatever wasn't the Tzorach Mitzvah directly wouldn't be mutter. Next thing that the Mishnah said, there are requirements for the Omer that are le-mitzvah, they're a correct way to do it, but they're not ma'akev. So we said, mitzvah is to bring the Omer from the actual grain that's standing. If you couldn't find any, then you can bring it even from grain that had been katsur. And then we talked about also that it's supposed to be from the new green and very fresh caramel, but that's not ma'akev either. And we said that it's needed to be katsur on the lel of yud of tetvav, but that's not ma'akev either. So let's take a look at how we know those dinim in the following bracket. Tana Rabba, ve'im takriv minchat bikurim. Let's take a look at the whole post. Ve'im takriv minchat bikurim la'ashem, aviv kagui ba'esh geres karmel. And then it repeats. Takriv et minchat bikurecha. Well, why does it repeat the takriv et minchat bikurecha, who was obviously providing the conditions for the mincha with the opening of the pasuk? The im takriv minchat bikurim lashem. Here's how to do it. Aviv kaluy and so on. Right. So, what's the repetition all about? Ma talmud lomar again? את תקריבת מנחת ביקורך. לפי שמצוות העומר להביא מן הקומה, we know that we're supposed to bring the omer from standing grain, but how do we know that? Because it says beferish mehachel charmesh bakama, and that's where you bring it from, the grain that is standing and has not yet been cut. How do you know that in the event there is no longer any place to find grain that was standing, that you can bring the grain that was already cut? Talmud lomar, it repeats at the end of the pasuk, takriv et minchat bikorecha. That means, no matter what, just make sure that you're makriv it. So that's the takriv. Another thing, I mean, takriv basically says under any and all circumstances, just get this done. So how about a case where, since it's a mitzvah lavi min alach, which we learned out from before, that it's supposed to be karmel. How do you know minayim she'im lo matzah min alach yavi min ha-yavesh? How do we know that b'di avad you can bring the omer even if it's not from the fresh grain? Talmud lomar, that's why he repeats again at the end of the pasuk, takriv et minchat bikurecha. Another limud. Lefi shemitzvah to liktzor balayla, we know that there's a mitzvah to be kotzer on Leil Tet Zayin. Minayin she'im nikzar b'yom kasher, what if you didn't have that opportunity or you didn't do it? How do we know it's kosher even if your kotzer b'yom? Talmud lomar again, takriv et minchat bikurecha. So no matter what, you have to bring it. And from there we know that it's docha asa Shabbos, because Talmud lomar takriv. So what is takriv basically telling you? When you hear that word, just bring it, man. Takriv, kosher, whatever the condition of the grain is. Takriv, just bring it, mikol makom, wherever you find it, even if it's not minakarov. Takriv, whenever, afilu b'shabbat. Takriv, afilu b'tuma. And so the Mishnah says, if you actually did the ketzira b'yom tetzayin, nikzar b'yom, it would still be kosher. Problem is that the Mishnah in Megillah seems to say not like that. Listen to this Mishnah. Kol halayla kasher l'ktzirat ha'omer u'la'atir chalavim ve'evarim. So here it's talking about you're allowed to bring the parts of the Eila all night long, and you're allowed to do the ktzirat ha'omer all night long, and continues the Mishnah, we have a general din, zakla, davar shemitzvato bayom kasher kol hayom. Something that you're supposed to be doing in the daytime is kosher all day long at any point in the day, and a davash mitzvah toba layla, kosher kol halayla. So now it seems to be saying that the dinim of yom and layla are similar. Katani layla dom yadilom. I mean, if you say, we know the cases that we list over here that are kosher to do in the daytime are not kosher to do at the night. What you're going to tell me, we can do the zrikas adam balayla? The zrikas adam is only kosher beyond. So there's two ways to hear the Mishnah. Kosher kol hayom. What does that mean? Does it mean that it's not kosher balayla, it's only kosher kol hayom, or does it just mean to tell me, don't worry about getting it done first thing in the day? Well, since I know for a fact that, let's say, if we had dam, the moment that it wouldn't be daytime, it would already be pasabalina. So then when it says kosher kol hayom, it means it's not kosher balayla, right? So if that's what it means in the clause of the Mishnah that addresses yom, so mati yom, it means only kosher kol hayom, and it's not kosher kol halayla at all. So then undoubtedly, the parallel clause in the Mishnah of masha kosher balayla kosher kol halayla means the same thing. Av balayla, it's not kosher b'yom. And it was listing in the things that are kosher balayla, the ktiras ha'omer, and it's saying it's not kosher b'yom. So how do you explain that in the context of our Mishnah that says that the takriv is coming to tell me that if you did not do it in the nighttime, you could still do the ketzira on the next night? Well, my rabbi, well, you're right, but it's not a problem because we know that there's actually a machlokas Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, about the halacha of tetzayin. So according to Rebbe, if you didn't do it at night, it really is kosher on the next, during the day, anytime. And according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, it would not be kosher if the ketzira wasn't done in the nighttime. Where do we see such a machlokas? The Tanya. A kohen is omed umakriv mincha ta'omer. So there he is. He's already doing the hakrava, which means that it's already the 16th, right? And v'nitmeit, the omer became tamei. So in yesh acheret, if there's barley that's still available, so then, okay, we let him go and tell him, listen, we're not going to bring it betuma if we don't have to. If you've got barley, go bring barley and do the whole thing, be kotzer, and do the trina, the whole deal, until you're able to make another carbon in aveyachara tachteha. But if there's no other katsira available, so then we tell the kohen, listen, buddy, if you're smart, you'll just shut up. Don't tell anybody about this and just keep working. Because we don't want people to know that it was nitmeit if it's not, does not need to be replaced. Because what they have to know that we're bringing betuma, they think that they are allowed to bring betuma. It's only brought betuma because it's a korban sibur. So we tell them, don't say anything and just continue to bring it. Nobody's got to know. So says Rebbe. So you see that according to Rebbe, if there is an ability to be kosher today on the 16th, that is preferable than being deichesh, the din of tumah. Was Rabbi Lozer, but Rabbi Shimon says, it's never an option to go and bring other ones, even if there is barley, because you can't do the ketira on the 16th. So either way, whether there is barley or there isn't barley, we always tell the kohen when it comes to the bezdin and says, what should I do? We say, what you should do? You should be smart enough to shut up. That's what you should do. So have a pikeach u'shtok. Shekola omer, sheniktzar shaloka mitzvato. Why do I say this, says Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Shimon? Because you don't have an option of bringing other one. It's too late. If it wasn't katsura on the night of Tetzayin, then it's not going to be kosher. So what would be the point? You might as well bring it betuma. You're going to bring it pepsul. So we see that Rebbe and Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Shimon are chaylik over here, exactly the difference between the Mishnah Megillah and the Mishnah Menachos. It makes perfectly good sense. So according to Rebbe, it's not ma'akev that it should be niktza on Leil Tetzayin. And according to Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Shimon, it is. So that's very good. So our Mishnah is going like Rebbe, in which case you could bring the Omer, as we said, because of our pasuk that we were darish takriv. And according to Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon, you cannot. And that's the Mishnah in Megillah that says kala kosher b'layla, kosher kala layla, which were medayik means only kosher kala layla and not b'yom. So now, let's try to understand. We explained the idea of our marker in the Takriv Minchat Bikorecha, which is actually matir in Rabbi, apparently, that it should be mutter, and Rebbe says, therefore, better to bring the ketzira that you do now. What was Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon's svara that's all that it's ma'akev? Omar Rabba Barbachonam Rebbe Yochanan, I'll tell you why Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon here argues with Rebbe. He was actually following the shita of his own father, Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai. His own father's Rebbe was whom? Rebbe Akiva, right? That's the whole story that's coming up during the Omer of the death of Talmidim Rebbe Akiva and the Talmidim that took the place of all of those 24,000 Talmidim. The star was his father, Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai. So Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai went, according to the Shitas, that he learned from Rebbe Akiva. And Rebbe Elazar went according to what he had been taught from his father. Fine. So therefore, we see in the Mishnah that since Rabbi Akiva has this klal, so remember that we have the din legabe mila on Shabbos. So we have this big machlokas over there about what happens if you didn't bring the sack in order to do the mila on Shabbos. So there we have this klal in which Rabbi Akiva says, look, you can't go and bring and be overkill Shabbos, a sakin on Shabbos, and you certainly can't go and make a sakin on Shabbos, because kol melakashev shalo la sota mi'erev Shabbat, eno dochet ha-Shabbat. Of course, we're docha Shabbos for the mitzvah of Mila, but we're not docha Shabbos for any hachana that could have been done for the Mila before Shabbos. And therefore, that's our first yisod. If you can avoid it, you don't do it. And the second yisod is that Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon was going like Rebbe Yishmael, who holds that the Ktziras HaOmer is a mitzvah and is docha Shabbos, Titznan. Rebbe Yishmael Omer, when it says in the Pasuk, remember we have this big machlokas. How do we understand the Pasuk of Sheshes Yamim Ta'avod Uvayom HaShvi'i Tishbot Becharish Uvakatsir Tishbot? What is that Becharish Uvakatsir Tishbot? So that's a machlokas, and according to Rabbi Yishmael, it's coming to tell me regular din of Shabbos, not talking about the way that others learn that it's referring to Shemitah and so on. It's referring to Shabbos, and it's telling you, why did Shidatera mention Dafke, Harisha, and Ktsira? Because think about the difference between Harisha and Ktsira, and you'll understand why. Harisha, there's not a single place in the Torah where the mitzvah is to do Harisha. Where are you mechuyev to do Harisha? But there is a mitzvah in the Torah to do Ktsira. So therefore, Tainiz Rabbi Yishmael, the pasuk of Harisha v'Ktsira, is to compare the Harisha to Ktsir. Ma Harish reshut, av Ktsir reshut. So just like we don't have a Harish that is a mitzvah, so too the only Ktsir that the Torah is telling you Tishbot is where it's not a Ktsira that you're mechuyev to do. Ma she'inke, yotze Ktsira omer, shehi mitzvah. So Gufa, this pasuk is coming to tell me that the Ktsiras omer itself is meant to be docha Shabbos. So if the 16th falls out on Shabbos, so then you do the Ktsiras omer on that night. Now let's put the two together over here, because Rabbi Elazar Rebbe Shimon says to himself, if you're going to hold that Niktza would be kosher, even if it was done shalom kimitzvasei, then since I hold like my father's Rebbe, Rebbe Akiva, why would it be Decher Shabbos? After all, Rebbe Akiva said, wherever it's not essential to be Decher Shabbos, and it's a hachana that could be done without being Decher Shabbos, it wouldn't be Decher Shabbos. So if it's not really Ma'akev, and I could have done the Ketzira before Shabbos, so then let me do it Erev Shabbos, right? If you're telling me that, no, you can't do it Erev Shabbos, why not? After all, we said that if it isn't done, Takriv is meant to tell me that even if it wasn't done on the Leil Tet Zayin, well, that's obviously not true. Because if that were the case, then why, if Leil Tet Zayin would be Shabbos, would it be Docha Shabbos? Let me do it before. Since Rabbi Akiva says anything that could be done before should be done before. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, is simply going according to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who was following, it was his father, who was following Rabbi Akiva. I don't understand what you're saying. Rabbi wasn't a Talmud of Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi himself learned by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, because we actually have a story in the Brit of Atanya. Oh, my Rabbi. Remember that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai held that all of the semi-reshuyas that the Chachomim had asked carrying in are all considered to be one big reshus. So what's normally the halacha? Obviously, midiraisa, you're not allowed to carry from reshus ayachit to reshus arabim, and you're not allowed to carry arba amos reshus arab. How about if it's a carmelite, and it's really a reshut ayachit midiraita, the two types of carmelite, but what if it's really a reshut ayachit midiraita? And then, so if it's a place with which people live, so then we have a halacha that the Rabbanim were mechayev you to make an eruv between various homes, right? So that if you want to carry, even it's all within technically midiraisa, one reshus hayochid, but we're mechayev you to make an eruv. And we would therefore not be allowed to carry from one reshus hayochid to another reshus hayochid. But Rabbi Shimon Shita was that all of the reshuyos hayochid that are not for living in, so that would include the backyards, the karfav, and the gag, and so on and so forth. So when we were learning by Rabbi Shimon, says Rabbi, and Rabbi Shimon wanted to go to the mikveh, so we would actually carry his clothes, his towels, and the oil that he would use, everybody used oil after bathing, we would carry it from his yard, used to leave it in his yard in order for us to carry to the Mayan. So Ayinu Ma'alim Lo Shemen V'Aluntit Michotzer Legag, so we would carry his oil and his big bath towel from his chotzer to his roof, and from his roof to the next guy's karfaf, and from one karfaf to the other, jumping over roofs like all the kids do in the old city, ad she'anu magin l'mayan she'narochatzim bo, until we got to that spring where everybody used to use for washing. So you see that Mamish Rebbe was certainly directly learning from Rabbi Shimon. So since Rabbi Shimon was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, and you said that's the reason, after all, must be that he was going Aliba the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. So then, how do you explain the Machlokas over here? And Afal Pikein, Rabbi still says that even though there's a mitzvah on Tetzayin, and you don't need to do that, and it's not Mahakev, so if you're telling me that that was the whole basis, is the klal of Rabbi Akiva, then you should have said the same thing. So then, why does Rabbi say that the Omer is Dorcha, that the Ksira is Dorcha Shabbos? Something is wrong. So you haven't explained why Rabbi, I mean, if this is a function of who learned by whom, and who is Makabo, which halachas from whom, you haven't explained anything, because Rabbi should have the same constraints on his understanding as Rabbi Shimon, as Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon has. Answers the Gemara, we have another shita of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And based on that shita, Rabbi held that afal pike ought to be Dorcha Shabbos. What was that? Sagalaki idach the Rabbi Shimon Tanya. It says over here in the Braita, this is referring to the Karbonais, when we need to bring Musafim Tmidim on Shabbos. And Rabbi Shimon pointed out, wow, bo re'e kama chaviva mitzvah b'sha'atam. Take a look at how valuable the fact that the mitzvah, even though it's not ma'akev, you see, should still be done against the Shabbos. Because if you have hekta chalavim ve'evarim, is that kosher all night long? Absolutely. And what do we do with the evarim? And what do we do with the chalavim of the Karbanas Tamid and the Karbanas Musaf that we bring on Shabbos? Do we wait for Mitzray Shabbos for them to be put on the Mizbeach since it's kosher kol halayla? No, we do not. Why not? I thought that we follow Rabbi Akiva and we say if it's not Ma'akev, so then we shouldn't be Derech Shabbos. Simply because this is a mitzvah. You don't need for it to be ma'akev in order for it to be Dorcha Shabbos. You just need it to be a mitzvah b'sha'ata. This is the correct time. That's good enough for me to be mechal Shabbos. That's the chavivus of that mitzvah. So we see, says Rabbi Shimon, take a look how much the Torah values a mitzvah done at the right time. Because hekta chalav and devarim don't have to be done in the day. They can be done all night long. But we certainly didn't wait. So you see that it's more chashiv to do the mitzvah b'shaita. And therefore, we have exactly that same halacha here. And we have a bigger mitzvah to bring it right now b'shaita. That's why it's Dorcha Shabbos. That doesn't prove anything about whether it ought to be kosher before. It would be Dorcha Shabbos one way or the other because of that chaviv. So that's also Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So what's your problem? Wait a minute. So now, okay, so then if this is also Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Shita, so you're telling me that Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, never heard this din of Rabbi Shimon? I mean, so now we're back to zero. So what's the machlokas? Everybody has the same data here, right? So explain to me, what are we arguing about? So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, you're telling me that he didn't know what his father had said about Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita? Impossible. So you have to understand that he doesn't see that as binding this halacha. Why? Because he says it's not the same. If you're dealing with a Karban Mincha, I mean a Karban Musaf and a Karban Tamid, we were already Dorcha Shabbos for that Karban. We had to do the Shechita, We have to do anything that needed to be done during the day. So why would I wait on the rest of it if the korban has been doicha Shabbos already? That's different. So shining atam sharei dachata shechitata Shabbat. Okay, so now we've already been doicha Shabbos for this korban. Now you're telling me let's do only the things that are absolutely necessary. No, that doesn't follow, because then we say chaviva mitzvah b'shata. But to say, let's be Mechalo Shabbos, we don't have to be Mechalo Shabbos at all. There we would follow the klal of Rabbi Akiva, that any achana that could have been done in a different way should be done in a different way without being Mechalo Shabbos. So, okay, so isn't that a good taina to Rebbe too? I mean, we seem to be running around in circles. What is the machlokas? I mean, you're telling me each one of them has a good svar, but you haven't told me what the machlokas. You started off saying, I'll explain to you. It's very simple. Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon was a student of his father, was a student of, and then we say, no, but so was Rabbi Akiva. Oh, okay, but Rabbi Akiva knew another Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai din. Okay, but we said, but so did his son. Okay, so then we said, but his son says it's not the same. Okay, so why does Rabbi say it is the same? So basically, all we've been talking about is circles, which we still don't know. What are we arguing about? Okay. You know what? Maybe we're wrong. Maybe this whole discussion has been based on a misunderstanding. Maybe, actually, Rebbe does not hold that Ktziras HaOmer is Doicha Shabbos, and maybe Ktziras HaOmer is Doicha Shabbos. What? How could Rebbe hold that Ktziras HaOmer is not Doicha Shabbos? I mean, that was the Mishnah we had a long time ago already. So, v'lo, v'otzan v'chachamim omrim, Echad Shabbos, v'echad chol, mishalosha yabah. Remember, we're talking about, should we try to get a less grain and more malacha, maybe start with three, but then we'll have to do more of the sifting, or maybe we should start with five, then we do less of the sifting. Anyway, so the Chachamim say, no, we always do shalosh, but we're taking for granted that we're definitely going to be Doicha Shabbos. The only question was, how much? Well, maybe that Chachamim was not going like Rebbe. I don't know. Deloka Rebbe. Oh, come on. And then when the Mishnah says, V'chachamim amr, Echa Shabbos v'chotcho b'shlosha b'shalosh kupot, we need three people to be Doicha Shabbos, and we take a three kupot, and we use the shalosh magolites. So there would be marba in the malachas, and marba and the people, and so on and so. Yeah, okay, what so what? But that is not necessarily going like Rebbe. Well, what about the Mishnah after that? The Mishnah that says, U'v'shabbat yomar lehem, Shabbat yo? And then everybody says, yes, today is Shabbos. Three times we ask, is today Shabbos? Yes. Should I do the Ketzira? Yes, yes, yes. So you're telling me that's not like Rebbe? Yep, that's what I'm telling you. Maybe all of these Mishnayos that Rebbe wrote are the Loka Rebbe. So they might not be following. Maybe he holds that there's no Ketzira on Shabbos. What about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says, Niktzar b'yom kosher, V'dochet HaShabbat. Now, that seems to connect those two shitas. Now, Man Shamadai Dom Niktzar B'Yom Kosher. So who's the author of that statement? Niktzar B'Yom Kosher. We know that was the Braita that we just said on Amud Aleph. That was Rebbe Shita, Niktzar B'Yom Kosher. And it says in the Mishnah, V'dochet HaShabbat, which seems to be saying the same Tana who told you Niktzar B'Yom Kosher tells you that you can be Doicha Shabbos. I'm assuming when it says you can be Doicha Shabbos, it means that the Ketzira is Doicha Shabbos. No, maybe it means the Hakrova of the Omer is kosher, is done on Shabbos, but it doesn't necessarily mean that, according to Rebbe, that we would do the Ketzira, only the Hakrova and not the Ketzira. Okay. What are you going to do about Rebbe's own mamar in this bright? Now listen to this. Vatanya. Rebbe Omer. Vayedaber Moshe Smoade Adonai El Bnei Yisrael. Matamud Omar. So we know already that Moshe Rabbeinu said over all of these Sivuyim in Emor. So why does he repeat again? Because there's some Moadim that weren't included. What is that? Because, think about it, Shenema ben b'moado. This din of moed, being docha Shabbos and being docha tumah, where does it use the lashon of b'moado? It says that lashon on the carbon tummy, v'akriv li b'moado. And it uses the lashon of the same thing of carbon pesach. Also, this is b'moado, but it doesn't use the word b'moado on every single carbon. So dafka, I would think, tamid and pesach, yes, that means b'moado afilu b'shabbat, b'moado afilu b'tumah, but how do you know that any carbon sibur is compared to that halacha? That's docha both shabbat and tumah. That's why the pasuk says ele tasu l'Hashem b'moadechem. So this compares basically at the end of the parsha of the Musafim. It compares all of the Musafim as being Moadim. Therefore, they need to be brought even on Shabbos. And they're Dercha even Tum. How do we know, however, the Omer says over here only the list of the Moadim? How do we know that the Omer itself and the Karban Eila that's brought with the Omer, Vakar Evimo, how do we know that that is also called Moado? How do we know that the Shtei Alechem and the Kivsi Atzeret, Vakarevi Mahem, how do we know that they too are Doicha Shabbos and Tuma? That's the extra Pasuk Vayedaber Meshes Vayedei Hashem HaKatuv Kava Moed Lekulam. So by adding the new Moed, we are goof addressing this issue itself. The Omer and the Shtei Alechem is Doicha Shabbos. Now, I'm asking you to tell me, what does it mean when it says it's Docha Shabbos? Does it mean you're claiming that according to Rebbe, when it says Docha Shabbos in the Mishnah about the Omer, it was referring to being Docha Shabbos for the Hakrava, right? Well, is that what it means here? Ha ha ha. It can't mean that here because there is no Hakrava, the Shtei Alechem. Ha ha. So I put together the Shtei Alechem and the Omer, it's got to be talking about something that is done for those karbonas. Well, the Shtei Alechem, there's no akrav, it's obviously talking about the dinim of what you need to do, to be kotzer it, to grind it up, and to sift it, and so on and so forth. That's what it must mean, Shtei Alechem. They're not b'nei akrav. We don't put them on the Mizbeach, so it's clearly a reference to the melachos of Shabbos, like Trina and Harkada, which is true, Lagabi the Omer also. For the Omer, it's also the mitzvah of Kitzira. So, and it says over there, b'moado, it means that it's Docha Shabbos. No, okay, you know what? It could be that where it's talking about the Omer, it was talking about Hakrova. Because you can't do the Hakrova before Shabbos, obviously. The Shtei Alechem is not talking about the things that could be done before. We're talking about the Shtei Alechem, the baking of the Shtei Alechem. You can't do the baking of the Shtei Alechem before. Why not? Because Rebbe holds that the Tanur is Mikadesh. And if the Tanur is Mikadesh, we've discussed this several times, if it has a din of a Kli Shares, then anything that's baked in it is going to become Paso Belina, and therefore you cannot do it the day before. Because the Afile Mietmol, Ipsala Belina, and then you wouldn't be able to use them. So you have no choice but to bake them on Shabbos. So since the Brice is not talking about, or if we're learning it this way, it's not talking about the Ksiras HaOmer, it's talking about the Hakrovas HaOmer. And therefore, if that's the case, it has nothing to do with what we said before, that Rebbe was only referring to the Hakrovas HaOmer, which is Docha. He never said that the Ksira is Docha. Yeah, but that's only if what you just said was true. It's only if Rebbe actually holds the Tanur as Bekadesh. So then we've got a problem. We can't do it before, and we can figure out the meaning of the Braita over there. In the comparison in the Pasuk of the Omer and the Shtei Alechem could be talking about equally for the Shtei Alechem things that cannot be done before. Not referring to Akrava, but referring to baking. And it can't be done before because the Tanur is Mekadesh or Bipasa Belina. There's only one little chink in your armor over here. And that is that I don't think what you said is true. I don't think Rebbe holds that the Tanur is Mekadesh. Because look at this, Braita. V'sava Rebbe Tanur Mekadesh? V'otanya kivsi atzeret in Mekadshinet Alechem Ela Bishrita. that the kivsei atzeret, which are brought together with the shtei lechem, are only matir that lechem at the moment that you shecht them. That's what we understand it to mean. So that would mean if the shechita wasn't kosher. So let's say you did the shechita lishma, and you did the zrika lishma. So then the lechem is now kosher as the shtei lechem. But suppose you did the shechita shelo lishma, and you did the zrika shelo lishma. It would not be kodesh, because what is koveya this? I mean, it's true that maybe shelo lishma is kosher to eat, but it's not going to be kosher to eat for the lechem, because basically what connects the shechita of an animal to the lechem that you're bringing? Only the fact that you had in kavana that this is for that purpose, right? So therefore, if you were shochtan shelo lishma and zorek shelo lishma, it would not be kosher. The lechem wouldn't be kodesh. Shochtan lishman, but you did the zrika shelo lishman. So then we said before, Rebbe said that, well, in that case, the lechem is kodesh, but it's eno kodesh, which we discussed over there, what we mean by saying kodesh, eno kodesh, but in any event, we did come out over there that it definitely was the kiddush of the lechem. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon said, you need the whole thing to be done lishman. So if you're telling me that the thing that gives the kedusha to the lechem is the shechita of this kivsei atzeret, so then that means that up until that time, despite the fact that they had been baked in the tanur in the mikdash, they didn't have kedusha zaguf. That's what you're saying. So how could you tell me that this very sheet of Rebbe that says kodesh v'eino kodesh, that says that that's dependent on the shechita, which is done after we already had baked it, obviously. So then you're telling me that the baking per se was not mekadosh them. So apparently Rebbe does not hold that the tanur is mekadosh. Omer Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Where is Richie? What is going on with Richie? Where is Doc?
What's I'm going not here, on? Rabbi.
Oh, there you are.
I haven't gone anywhere.
I just want to make sure that, because, you know, you've been very slow lately. I want to make sure that you got your cues.
Warm-up time.
I'm a couple of pasuks behind. I sort of trail along, but I'll be there when I'm needed.
Over of Nachman bar Yitzchak. No. Rebbe does hold that the lechem is kodesh, but you misunderstand that brayta. The brayta, when it said kodesh alechem, I mean kodesh alechem in terms of the psulim of kedushas haguf, it meant hukpa alechem or lo hukpa'u alechem, meaning that up until that time that you do the shechita and it's done lishma and the zrika lishma, so then we don't have a connection that if anything it goes wrong, so then you're going to have to start over again, bring new kivsei atzeres and new lechem. But up until that time, there's no specific linkage. And if something goes wrong with these shnei kivsei atzeres, you bring other kivsei atzeres and link them to the lechem. It's not referring to the kedusha. It's only referring to the kviut of the relationship between the shnei kivsei atzeres and this particular baking of the shtei lechem. But certainly kedusha haguf was from the time of the baking, because Rebbe holds Tanur Bekadesh. And since Rebbe holds Tanur Bekadesh, we don't have an option of baking before Shabbos. And this brings us to Hadron Alach Rebbe Yishmael. Wow. Amazing. Now the question is Richie going to lead us onward?
You mean we have to continue?
Can't you stop here?
From Tenelek.
Okay. So I think we got time, Baruch Hashem, and we can
start. No, he did a fun. Rebbe has to read the next line, please. Josh would be very mocked.
I just said we're going to do the next part. What do you?
I thought Rebbe was switching to Uxin.
Your entire gestalt is, I have to say something against what we've decided. At least wait, you know? My gosh. Now the deep subconscious drives are exposed to the public.
Richie got his cue, and I'm behind the eight ball.
It's almost as bad as having a wife in the house. Whatever you say is the opposite.
Rebbe didn't hear. Richie got his cue, and I'm behind the eight ball.
I hear you. So, fact on the Hele Kiperik. Ve'elu minachot nikmatzot v'shireyem lakoanim. So, we have another one of our Mishnahs listing the same basic 10 korbanos that Rebbe was talking about all along. And here's yet another one. All of the menachos that I'm about to tell you about, which of course we know already what they are, they're the super 10, which is the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, all of which we learned about last week and in the laning. So these are the menachos which, since they have shirayim, so we do a kmitza, and the part that is the kmitza, that's brought on the Mizbeach, and that creates shirayim, and those shirayim are given to the Kohanim. So here they are, standard list. Minchat ha-solet, minchat ha-machafat, minchat ha-marcheshet, the chalot of the ma'afei tanur, the rikikin of the ma'afei tanur, minchat avodei kochavim, minchat nashim, the minchas ha'omer, minchas chote, minchas kanos, the perfect list that we've had so many times. And here too, Rabbi Shimon argues, and Rabbi Shimon omer, a very interesting shita. You're taking for granted that kmitza makes no sense if we're bringing the entire mincha on the Mizbeach. Why would we do kmitza? But Rabbi Shimon says that's not the case. A minchas chote of a kohen would actually, we would do kmitza even though shireyem is not the kohanim. Because the din over there would be, the kometz would be brought as one act of haktira, and then the menachos, the mincha, which normally the shirayim after that would be given to the kohanim, is brought separately on the Mizbeach. And therefore, there was a kmitza, and it's matir the shirayim la Mizbeach and not to the kohanim. So the shirayim are kravim latzma. So now we know what's coming. Rav Papa is coming. Omer Rav Papa, kol eichad etnan, wherever a Mishnah in this Masechet gives us a list of the fundamental menachas, there's always the 10 biggies. And our Mishnah is no exception. Okay, so again, but what is the chiddush in that? I know how to count to 10, at least to 10. So why do we need Rav Papa? We know what's coming in there. It's Lafuke min Rabbi Shimon. It's Rav Papa's standard walloping the sheet of Rabbi Shimon that holds that a minchas ma'afei tanur can be comprised of a partial the rikikin and a partial chalais, and that it's not necessarily a standardized minchas ma'afei tanur, one of which is 10 chalais, one of which is 10 rikikin, which is how we got to the number of 10. Actually, it could be anything, so it's all one mincha, so we should only have number 9. Or remember Rashi's other pshat, that maybe it should mean 11, because we could have a pure chalais ma'afei tanur, a pure rikikin ma'afei tanur, and a mixed ma'afei tanur. All right. In any event, Rav Papa's whole point is, kamash malon, that this is not the halacha, and the Mishnah is taking for granted that the minchas ma'afei tanur has to be comprised of one or the other, but not of both. So now, the Mishnah took for granted that the shirayim of all of these menachas are given to kohanim. Where exactly does it say that all of it is given to the Kohanim? What do you mean, where exactly does it say? I mean, I've heard of yeshiva boys not learning the holy book, but this is ridiculous. I mean, the Ktiva, I mean, there's plenty of menachos where it says, Beferish, Ktiva, it says to give it to the Kohanim, Bnei Aaron, or Bnei Aaron HaKohanim, or Bnei Aaron HaKohen, I mean, but like, it says it. In those cases, Hanoteret min haMincha la'Aaron u'Levanav. right? And even in those cases where it doesn't say beferish, let's say the minchas, I mean, it would only be, let's say, minchas chayte, doesn't say, and the mincha maybe of Akub, doesn't say. So, but it does say in the next parsha, which is this week's leaning, v'zot torat mincha, hakrevota b'nei Aaron, etc. V'hanotar b'nenu yochlu Aaron v'amav. And zot torat mincha means all of the minochas are telling me that this is the klal. How did you ask a question of where does it say it goes to the kohanim? This is crazy. No, you don't understand what I'm asking. Of course, any mincha that is ba'achiti, it says, I know it says on all the menachas that we speak about in these contexts, they're all solid, right? I'm only asking, how do you know that the same thing would be true? Because in the Zot Torah HaMincha, we talk about the menachas that are brought with solid. But how do we know those things that are brought, let's say, Minchas Kanots? So over there we have, or the Minchas Ha'on. So over there we don't have this whole idea of the fineness of the flour that we have on the mincha brought with chitim. How do we know that that's given to the Kohanim? Well, I mean, if the Torah said to do kmitzah, so doesn't it follow that the rest is given to the Kohanim? Otherwise, why would we be doing the kmitzah? We've already pointed out that if you have a mincha that is brought by a Kohen, in which the din is it's supposed to be burnt on the mizbeach, then we don't do kmitzah. Why would we do kmitzah if the whole thing is going to be burnt? It would make no sense at all. Oh, no, no, wait a minute. That's true according to the Tanakhama here. And I would never have asked my question. I'm ahead of you, man. I never would have asked the question. I'll leave it to Rabbanan. I'm asking the question according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon's got this weird shita here in which he says, well, minchas chote of a kohen, we do the kmitzah. We bring the kmitzah. The kmitzah is the chelik of the mincha, which is the mechaper. So it's similar to the zrikas hadam. We still got to do that. Now, even though it's brought by kohanim, and it's true that we're not going to be eating the shirayim, we're going to be putting the shirayim on the mizbeach, why would that take off the chiyuv of the zrikas hadam, so to speak, which is essentially the bringing of the kmitzah? So there, it doesn't follow. Therefore, I'm asking my question according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says the fact that something is nikmats does not mean that the shirayim are going to be necholim. So alib the Rabbi Shimon the Amar Ika mincha the mikmitzav alo mitachla. There is certainly such a thing as a mincha with kmitzah, and nonetheless it is not eaten by kohanim. It's a mishnah right here, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Minchat choteisho kohanim nikmetzet. And what do we do? I'm asking, according to him, you can't bring a riot from the simple fact of the need for kmitzah. That doesn't prove, obviously, that the kohanim are going to get the shirayim. Now I'm asking, okay, so according to him, how does he know that the kohanim get the shirayim of something that was not brought from solet? Omar Chizkia, now that's a different pasuk. That's v'chol mincha, b'lulav Hashem and v'chareva, l'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh. So what do you think that is coming to tell me? That in the basic din of the menachas, general rule, whether the mincha is b'lulav Hashem or whether the mincha is no shemen at all and it's completely chareva, it should be distributed to the kohanim to eat. I mean, I don't need it to tell me a blula of chitim, because I already learned that from the Zot Torah HaMincha we said before. So this pasuk must be a remes to blula shel sa'orin. That's what it's saying. So it's one of the Yud Gimel Midas of Torah Nidrashis by Mimeno Inyan. That pasuk, which again is another beautiful, beautiful sense of the symphonic interaction with your mind as somebody who has learned the Masechta reads through these two parshas, all of those psukim stand out like neon lights, and you and me, right, of course, this is what I must be referring to. It's obvious, right? So that's what it's coming. It can't be coming to tell you, Blula Shal Chitim, Tnei Blula Shal Saorin. So that's talking about the Belulav Serim, that's the Minchas HaOmer. And Imenu Inyan L'chariva Shal Chitim, Tneu Inyan L'chariva Shal Serim. Ah, that's the Minchas Kanaud of the Sota. So once you're aware of the broader field of the different Minochas, even those that we haven't yet even learned about, we understand what the Pasuk means. But I thought we used that for a different limud. That we will have to see tomorrow.